Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their insights and expertise so that we can all grow our businesses. My name is Gary Lafferty, your host, the CEO and founder of the Authority Accelerator, where we take experts in the field of tech and elevate them to being an authority so they can become the ones who are chosen by their clients as opposed to the ones chasing their clients. And without further ado, I tell you what, I can't wait for this interview today. We have the pleasure of having Ben Nelson from Advanced Business Methods. And today we're going to be sharing the journey that he took, so and amazing stuff that he's doing within the industry to stand out above the noise and not to sound like everybody else and to make that difference so that we can grow. So grab yourself a pen, grab yourself a drink, start taking notes, and stay to the very end, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be a fantastic interview. So that being said, Ben, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here. I've been really looking forward to this particular episode. Why don't you just start off by giving us a very brief history of your history within tech and where you are today and what the company actually does?
Yeah, thanks, Gary, for having me. This is awesome, a great experience. But Advanced Business Methods, the company itself has been around for about 53 years. They focused on copiers and printers. That's where they were. I was in the copier and printer field, 22 years ago. That's where I started with their competitor, learning copiers and printers. It's a long sales cycle. There's a lot to learn. You're taking everything from the initial engagement to wheeling in machines. So there's a lot going on there. So I did that for about 18 years. Worked on my way up into management. So was kind of at the top of the food chain there at the company, and then ended up leaving there and went into IT. Copiers, IT, they're kind of the same buyers, but totally different products. IT is a totally different animal than the copier print world. So got into that, did that in business development for about 4 years, and then Advanced Business Method came to me and goes, hey, we'd like to get into IT. Can you help us? We've been copier and print our whole world. Our competitors are getting into it. Can you help us? So signed up with them about 2.5 years ago doing acquisitions, which was something I've never done. I've been in sales my entire life. Now all of a sudden I'm going out and selling my business, because we're an employee-owned company, so it's selling us to get into these accounts. And it was something I learned a lot. There's a lot of really great people out there. There's a lot of great business owners out there. Ended up hooking up with a local company here in Fargo called True IT. We acquired them in July of 2023. And so it's been about a year and a half that we've been, working with them and kind of converting what they had built over the 12 years they had that business. But prior to that, they had another business that was in the same realm. And so it was all IT. And so helping them understand and just build up the MSP model. And through that, we've done some other acquisitions. There's been 4 or 5 different acquisitions we've done along the way. We actually started a new division of the company a few months ago called ABM AI. So obviously the AI is the big buzzword right now going around. Everybody wants to understand more about it, but nobody knows where to start. So we're helping people understand where to start on that. So
that's brilliant.
My journey and how I got into this world. And now I'm the vice president here at the ABM Technology Group and trying to help lead this organization. So it's been great.
That is quite a story. It must have been quite a culture shock for you from going from something as standard like copiers into the tech world, then into the MSP world and the acquisition world. What have been the biggest challenges that you have learned over the, let's say, last 4 years? And what lessons have you learned from those challenges?
Well, I look at ABM as we always call them the Flintstones. And the tech world is the Jetsons, right? We had this old school mentality of this is the way we've always done it. This is the way we make cold calls. This is the way the business operates to the Jetsons, which are moving fast. Things are moving. And so it's trying to bring those cultures together has been a big challenge. You got people that are ready to innovate and ready to grow, build and expand. And you have these people over here where it's always the way we've done it. Why are we changing? So that has been the biggest culture shock, is getting those two cultures to work together and communicate together. And it's still a challenge to this day. I'm not going to say it's all great. The sales departments need to come together and drive towards one common goal. And that's been our big biggest challenge is to get those people on the same page to know that, you know, we're selling something that's going to make your account more sticky. So bring us in and help us keep your account. And like I said, that's a huge challenge for us. So
yeah, I can see that as a challenge, you know, especially when you've got the companies which are newer, they see the newer systems, they understand what it's there for, and they want to be at the forefront of it all. And you always sometimes feel like you're dragging through, as you call them, the Flintstones side of things, where, well, why do we need to change? We know we need to change, but, you know, we can do that. There's just not that urgency to do it. And therefore, there's going to be that kind of resistance, isn't there?
There is. And, you know, with technology, you're constantly got to be an innovator, right? You got to be in, not on the bleeding edge, for say, but at least on that front edge, to make sure that your customers are taken care of and that's secure. And when you're kind of getting drugged down a little bit, you know, that's a challenge. And so we've been working our way through it. And, you know, we have a new president that stepped in here in the last year and a half that is very forward thinking. He's very innovative. He sees the direction he wants to take the company. And now we're evolving. And now we're doing things that we haven't done. The AI division came from, you know, kind of his bringing it to the board. Let's go to battle with this AI thing. And they're like, yeah, this is a great vision. Why aren't we doing this? And so that became, you know, we're only 4 months into that journey right now. And that's its own set of challenges as well. But it's innovating other, you know, companies and trying to get them to the next level, because we've all struggled with it, finding people, right? I mean, that's the biggest struggle that we all have as business owners and leaders, is we can't find enough people. Well, AI is helping your people be more successful and be better. So how can we leverage that? So
brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Well, let's take a little shift now towards, you know, strategies for growth, for standing out, to differentiation. Because one of the biggest challenges out there that we're seeing with every tech company, whether it be old, new, small, large, whatever, is standing out amongst the sea of sameness. The same messages are being regurgitated over and over and over again. The more AI comes in, and everyone knows and can almost practically read immediately, it's an AI generating marketing material, you know, and we think we're being efficient, but effectively it's sometimes actually hurting the brand, because it's really taking away the personalization of it. Yet it's a way forward. So how do we balance that? Let's talk about that there. So in your experience, you know, you've got this AI division coming through now, this AI part of the company. It is at the forefront. Well, not so much at the bleeding edge, like you said, but how are you differentiating yourself when it comes to standing out amongst new potential clients? So let's start there. What strategies are you currently using to bring in new clients?
So we do a couple different things. Obviously, everybody's done marketing drip campaigns. They've done the white papers. They've done podcasts. If you're doing all those things, I mean, you're probably having a good market share, and you probably have some good set of new clients coming in. We also try to different. I mean, everybody's also saying, you know, we have the best service and we have the best products and all those things. You can't do any of that anymore, right? I mean, you have to really differentiate yourself with what you're delivering to the customer and making it easy for the customer to buy from you. That's one thing that when we took on True IT and converted it to ABM Technology Group was trying to keep technology simple. We didn't want to make it so complex. For business owners, they were sitting back being like, I don't even know what I have. I don't know what I'm buying. What do I need? And tell me what I need. And there's so many people out there with Chinese menus of different selections and different things. So we kind of standardize our package into four real core offerings so that we made it easy for customers. Yeah, everybody's got a security stack. Everybody's got their network stuff. Everybody's got their things. But to deliver that in a package so that it's not, let's say, one size fits all, but it's going to fit probably 80% of the business as they're out there. And those are the ones that we're looking for. Those are the ones that we're looking to grow and to expand off of. And so we delivered that product in a nice, simple way. And then we also delivered them a journey alongside of that. So when you buy product from us, there's a client journey behind it. So you get an account management and a VCIO team that's partnered with you that takes you on this journey. So they take you through a health check. They take you through a budgeting cycle. They take you through a security assessment. They take you through a technology roadmap. They're doing all these things in the background to make sure that your experience with us is, I mean, you're spending in some instances a lot of money with us. And we kind of hold the keys to the kingdom in a lot of sense, because we are that technology partner for these people. And so we want to make sure we're delivering a really good value to these clients on that side. And on the AI side, that's a whole nother different customer, because now you're looking for people that just want to get into the world of AI. They just need to make sure that their data is secure, that their data governance is done. I mean, these are all the things that people don't realize need to get done before they flip the switch on. Because so many people just say, hey, I want it, call up their MSP, they add Copilot licensing to their 365 tenant, and next thing you know, they're getting internally hacked because they can see their HR files over here, or something's going on. I mean, we really start at that ground level where it's that foundational intelligence to make sure that people are aware where to build off of before they get to the AI, you know, plateau, we call it, because we kind of have a little pyramid that the AI team uses to get people to the next levels.
So. Yeah, that makes total sense. And there was actually, I'm just sitting here listening to you, and there was so much that you just shared in there that I need to unpack it, because I really want people who are watching here and listening here to actually really get some of those insights. So I'm going to dial it back a little bit, Ben, if I could, first and foremost. And, you know, I want to revisit the question about bringing them in, because there's people there who are going, yes, I understand the journey, and that's something I want to unpack as well. But a lot of people that we're certainly seeing out there in the marketplace are saying, well, hold on a second. Yes, I am the best thing since sliced bread, and I have the best thing, best service and best product, which we all know you can't keep saying that. You've got to do something different. But their thing is, I can't even get through the door to deliver this message. And like you say, you've got something that's really, really good to the buyer's journey, and that I want to unpack that as well, you know, in from a 30,000 foot perspective. But let's talk about this getting through the door thing. How do you build enough trust that people will say, hey, yeah, I want to talk to you? And I know you've mentioned podcasts and white papers and stuff like that. So what insights can you share with us with that, Ben?
So we use an SDR team, sales development reps. So they have a list that we either purchased online. We also use a program online for market research for our customers to kind of identify that ideal company profile. We have kind of a, you know, 7 to 75 users that are going to spend X amount of dollars per month that fit this criteria, that there's an ideal company profile that we built for our ideal client. And so then we take that, we put it in our system, and it spits out the names. And then our SDR team gets on the phone and they start calling, and they say, hey, you know, they're trying to engage them just for a 30-minute virtual meeting. If they'll take an in-person meeting, we'll do it, because, you know, we're kind of nationwide, but we're really focused in the area right now. You know, that's where our bread and butter has always been. Plus, we have a large number of clients through the ABM print side that we are engaging as well. So we really do that marketing research to figure out, okay, are they our ideal company profile? Let's call them. If we can get the appointments, great. If we can't, then they go through the drip campaign. If they start engaging, they come back to the SDR team, and then they call them again, say, hey, I noticed you clicked on this. I noticed you downloaded this white paper. But that thing has to be fast. It's speed to lead at this point, right? You can't, if they're clicking on it today, you're not calling them 2 weeks from now, because they've already bought from your competitor. You need to be calling them within the first probably day, if not hours, because they're engaging right now. It's kind of like going to the car dealership and looking at a car. You're probably buying a car if you're there. You know, you're not, you know, there's not a lot of tire kickers anymore because you've done your research online. That's the same thing. It's let's get them engaged right away. When they start, you know, coming in and engaging with us, we need to engage with them.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, yeah, you're putting urgency into it. And I think there's a lot of people in tech within businesses, and there'll be people listening to this going, I'm not a pushy salesman. I don't want to be a pushy salesman. You know, my product speaks for itself. I'm the expert in this field. But I think what's one thing I certainly want to make clear, and I'm sure Ben, you've got some insights on this, it's not about being the pushy salesman. Selling is serving, no matter which way you want to cut it. The better you serve someone, and you can only serve someone if you sold them something. So if they're ready, or at least thinking about it, you're doing them an injustice by going to a competitor, especially if you think you are the best and your service sells itself. If it's going to a competitor because you didn't have the urgency for it,
correct,
then you've just done that person injustice, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's really getting that message out there of what you're delivering too. I mean, our business development team has a really good message. We just got done practicing it on Friday to each other. We deliver this message because we want to make sure that when we're engaging with these clients, their time is valuable, right? So you need to make sure that the message you're delivering them makes sense for them, and that they can understand it, and it's clear and it's simple, as we call everything. We want to make sure that's there, because if it's confusing, they're not buying. So we practice and practice and practice our pitches in front of our clients to make sure that it is good. It is precise. We critique each other so that we know that that customer is getting, you know, the results they're looking for.
Yeah. And as odd as that sounds, you know, about practicing scripts, and it's something that I swear by with building the businesses with my clients. Yeah. Tom Cruise uses a script. The best paid actors use a script. Exactly. And if they go off script, everyone goes, whoa, where are they going? The reason why the script is there is to make sure that the film is a blockbuster. And if they can use it, so can we in business. You know, it is an absolute essential, which leads me lovely position two. The other thing I want to unpack is the buyer's journey. You've mentioned that this is definitely part of your SOP, what you put in there. And what I love about that is the fact that people don't know what they don't know, you know, and maybe they're not buying, they're only doing the buying cycle every 5, 6, 7 years, perhaps, and it's been a long time since they bought. So if we're not showing them how to buy and just expecting them to know how to buy, then we really are leaving more money on the table. Let's dissect that a little bit about, you know, teaching people how to buy what instead of just what to buy.
Yeah, I mean, the journey that they go on after they become an MRR client is really, I mean, there's a lot of project work and things that need to be done in the background. And we don't want that work. The last thing I want to hear is my customer saying, I didn't know you sold that. I didn't know you did that. I mean, that I hate that comment because we have the client sitting in our portfolio. Let's engage them on all different levels. So that's why we have this account management BCO team that really take them on this journey and look at their technology, look at their roadmap. Where are you at today? Where do you want to be? Are you growing? Are you expanding? Any mergers, acquisitions? What's going on? And really understand that business. And we make sure that there's two people in there. So there's account manager and there's a BCIO. You always want a couple points of contact from your business. You always want a couple points of contact at their business as well in case somebody were to leave. We also deliver them a book. So they get this strategic guidance book that they get from us, that we put all the different assessments that we do in those books for them so that if somebody were to leave, they have this book on the shelf. And when the new guy comes in and says, hey, I want to go to your competitor because I've been buddy buddies with that guy over there for a long time, you can go to the president and be like, hey, look at that book over there. It goes through how happy you have been with us for the last X amount of years. Why are you looking to switch just because you got the new guy? I think you should give us a chance here to prove to him that we are as good as we say we are in these books. So it gives you those types of things because this, in this industry, IT guys change all the time. They're constantly moving around. And so it's trying to establish that rapport with that customer multiple levels in will keep you there and keep you focused over there. And then obviously the journey that we deliver with the technology roadmap, the security assessment, budgeting, and health check are the four things that we do for them. And that health check, I tell you what, that thing's been money for us. It's been really good. I mean, there's really good value that comes out of those things. We actually created our own version of it. So it's our homebred thing. But customers really love it. They miss it when they don't get it. Some want it every quarter, some want it once a year. It depends on the customer, but they love that health check. And it's been
a big attribute. And it's really good for when it's coming up to renewal time as well. You know, having a health check, their things have changed. Where one was 12 months ago, 36 months ago, it's probably different to where they are today. And having that up to date health, it's more than requirements discovery, isn't it? It's actually utilizing and helping that company grow effectively.
Well, and it's building rapport for what you're delivering, right? Because we're charging, you know, X amount of dollars per month. And you can see as they go through the months and quarters that they're getting better and better in their technology. Well, that's what we want. Now, they also see their ticket volumes are going down as well. And they're saying, well, why am I paying so much when I'm not getting as many tickets? Well, it's because we're taking you on this journey. So we got to make sure that a customer is aware of that, that this journey is to make you better. But it's also going to bring ticket volume down. But that's our job, really, to do that, you know. So making sure we're bringing that value down.
Yeah, and that is really is a very good point and a good insight is that, you know, if you make someone healthier, they're going to see the doctor less often. But it doesn't make the doctor less valuable because you made them healthier. You know, so using an analogy like that is, you know, it may perhaps can help some people who are listening from there. So. Whilst we're on the thing about the doctors and stuff like that, building authority and standing out, you know, as I said, when we were talking earlier on before, that of course we're all experts in our field because otherwise we wouldn't be doing what we were doing. How important is it to, from your perspective, to stand on the shoulders of experts, as it were, and what steps have you been taking? And I want to really kind of touch now on you doing podcasts and white papers and stuff like that. Why don't we talk about the importance of those and the process you go through to make sure that you're elevated as an authority in your field?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, everybody's on social media, it feels like. So you have to make sure that the image that you're portraying, whether it's yourself or your company, makes it look like you're the expert. Now, you don't want to be selling all the time on there. You want to just be a resource for them, because what's happening is these people are out there, they're doing their research before they even come to you. You just need to be there some way, shape, or form in front of them, whether that's doing a podcast, which obviously that's a very simple one, get shared out. White papers are nice when people get to your website and they can download things, or if you're using an email marketing campaign, that you can get white papers through that. Blog posts are huge to be able to come across as that professional and that expert in your field. So those are the key areas. But then we also do a lot with local, like we'll do presentations at IT Nation, or not IT Nation, IT symposiums, different events throughout the community and throughout the nation that we portray out there, right? I mean, it's you know, Abby, who runs our AI division, she's constantly in the media for different things, you know, what to watch for in the businesses, you know, women in leadership, things like that. She's involved in a ton of things that get our name out there and make it portray us as an expert, because that's what we want. We want to just engage them to engage with us so that we can at least have that initial conversation so they know that, hey, these guys really know what they're talking about. These guys are really good at what they're doing. Or look at their CSATs. Their CSATs are 100% right now. You know, different things like that to prove that, you know, because again, I'm not going to go back and say, you know, we're the best, we get the best products. We can't do that. We got to portray it out there, and people really need to find it for themselves, because they're going to do the research on you. If they're not, they should be. I can imagine that if it's a decent sized deal, they're doing the research on you. They know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, this is one of the things which, you know, I say a lot when I'm speaking out there, is that, you know, although everyone calls themselves an expert, you know, if you're an expert or you're an authority, it's what somebody bestows upon you. You know, they're the ones that should bestow your status as an expert or an authority as opposed to you. And one of the best ways for them to do that is to see you out there, is to see that, you know, you are, you know, at top of your field, you have got published white papers, you are being spoken on podcasts, you are doing external presentations in industry fields. So that if you're the one being spoken to, or you're the one being interviewed, you're automatically deemed as the authority in that field. Otherwise, right, you wouldn't have been invited, you know, and this is why I have you, Ben, on here. You are, I consider you to be an expert, an authority in your field. So if those who are listening and thinking, well, you know, how do I stand out? Ben is a great example of that, you know, making sure you put those things in place to make sure you stand head and shoulders above what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. And there's services and things out there that you can subscribe to, or there's get in touch with people that can help you portray your image out there better. Obviously, marketing is huge, right? We have a pretty extensive marketing department here that does a lot with putting us out there, getting our images out there, trying to get us on the top of the list, making sure that people see us. That's the main thing. So you need to be, when they think IT services, when they think copier, when they think AI, they need to think our name. And so that's what the images we're trying to get out there. We're constantly revamping like our website, and we're constantly revamping a lot of things just to make sure that we're staying fresh and staying in the market. So.
Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, as I said, when we've spoken before, Ben, you know, everyone's very good at telling us what we're doing, what they are doing, which is great, and they're sharing things. But, you know, where we learn from is mistakes, all right? We learn and we fail fast, we pick ourselves up. But one of the quickest ways to do that is learn from people who've done it before, who say, hey, there's a landmine there, don't step on it. What kind of lessons can you share with us? Give us an example of a marketing effort that you've tried that you thought, you know, that, or you're currently doing that you just wish you had better results from, or something that just didn't work?
Yeah, I think the ones that don't work are the ones that aren't getting followed up on. If you don't engage your entire company in a marketing effort for like a campaign or some type of event or anything, then you're not doing yourself justice. You're wasting money. So when we have events, it's the entire company's involved, from the service staff to the person answering the phone to our marketing, sales, president, everybody along the way is involved. So when you're engaging with these prospects or these customers, you're also communicating, or everybody else is also communicating the same message. So you're sharing it across your socials, you're sharing it across, you know, individual socials. I'm picking up the phone and calling people, hey, are you going to come to our event? You know, sales, you know, services on the phone with people. And they're like, hey, we're having an event next week. Here's a flyer on that. You should come. You know, we have, you know, in the copier field, we have a lot of people that are on location fixing copiers. And so we put things on the copiers to say, hey, do you know we do this? Do you know we're doing that? Just to get constantly being out there. And if you don't engage your entire staff, if you just say, hey, sales team, let's have an event next week and we need you guys to have 25 people show up and it's just them doing it, it's not going to be successful. You really need to engage your entire company to make something like that successful. And
yeah,
the people that just blast out emails expecting responses, that's the other side, is get an email that is engaging. And make sure that you probably followed up with a phone call or some other type of message, because I'm not going to respond to those emails. And most people don't. I mean, it's just a waste of time.
So. Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you can't be putting some care behind it and following up, you know, then why should you put the effort back in to chase them, right? Yep. That's exactly what I say. And well, I want to move across to, because there's some really good points there, but I love chatting to you, Ben, because you know, when you say something, I make a mental note. Now I'm going to come back to it because there's something else that's really important. You talk about doing presentations and events and stuff like that. Let's talk about educational-based marketing. You know, one of the key insights that we've seen in 2024, moving into 2025, is that those who are succeeding aren't just doing product demos after product demos. They're doing education-based marketing. They're educating their prospects and their clients, not just on how to use their product or service, but on holistically how to grow their companies, you know, and how to be that almost holistic partner by growing. What insights can you share with us on that?
So we've actually struggled in this area. You know, this is an area that we haven't been shining in, but we're getting better. We just got a new service. It's like a clip training that we subscribe to, that we're trying to get more into educating our consumers, educating our clients on the different services that we provide, whether that's before they engage with us or whether they're already engaged with us. There's so many people that just don't understand the basics of like Office and how to educate them more on that. There's also people over here that aren't even clients of ours that we need to engage them on how to work with us, how to put in tickets, how to just do certain things. So we're really trying to get better on that education side of the world. It's like I said, it's been a struggle for us, but we have hired some really good people that are really bringing it to market. So
that's brilliant, because I think the getting that word out, more important, you seem to be doing everything you possibly can rather to be proactive out there, as opposed to just doing that blanket marketing that everyone else seems to be doing to make sure that you're standing out. I want to talk about something that we talk about off camera, which is keeping it simple, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a tendency within our industry to in sales, it's called talking yourself out of the sale. In tech, it's like talking to them until they get bought, right? Because what advice can you give people listening here about overcomplicating the conversation? Whether it be on a demo, whether it be your initial meeting with them, whether it be just an explanation of how something works.
It's really four things. And what I've dealt with in the past is salespeople have made it really complicated and they really don't understand what the client really needs. And so they have to ask the right questions and then they have to listen. We have 2 ears, 1 mouth, right? We've all heard that story before. They really have to listen and understand what the client's really needs and match your services up to that. You know, and we're trying to keep it simple with 4 services. A lot of people have 8, 10, you know, some have way too many and they need to scale things back, but you just have to match up what the customer is really needing to what they're getting so that they understand that. That's the message that a lot of MSPs don't understand that. And they try to say, yeah, we do everything. Yeah, we do all that. Yeah, we have you covered for that. And then next thing you know, the customer's getting invoiced getting nickel and dimed, and they're wondering why. You said you were covering this. You know, you said you were monitoring this. You said you were taking care of our backups. You said you were doing this, and now we're not. And so that's where we try to deliver a product that is packaged in a way that they know they're going to get the services they need. They know that they're going to be taken care of. They can go to bed at night knowing that somebody's watching over their stuff, or that there's alerts being created, and we have a team working 24/7 in the background to make sure that they're taken care of. So really keeping it simple, number one. You know, maybe compact your services so that they fit. You know, they don't have to fit every customer. I mean, we're not trying to sell everybody everything, because if you're going to do that, you're going to have service technicians that do not like working for you, because they don't want to deal with the 25,000 products that you guys are selling. They want to really be good at certain things. So let's not sell everything, and then make sure that the deliverable is concise enough so that the customer can understand it. Because that's the other side, is they don't understand what they're getting. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's a very, very good point. You know, it's by understanding what they want, then you don't have to, you know, to coin a phrase that I hear all the time in tech, is to show up and throw up. You know, they just want to chuck everything from the bin and say, look what I put. It's almost like your dog bringing you all the toys and say, look what I've got.
Exactly.
As opposed to saying, this is what you need, right? This is absolutely what you're going to be needing from there.
Yeah.
So, as we draw this to an end, because I can't believe where the time has gone, Ben. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. You know, this is just one of those things that, you know, we could keep on talking and talking for that, because there's so much out there to unpack. If you had one more piece of advice that you could give your younger self, you know, knowing what you now know when it comes to building a tech company, making sure that, you know, you're in the area of growth as opposed to majority of tech companies who are barely banking payroll, you know, what piece of advice would that be?
I think it would be really find a mentor, find somebody that is in your field that is successful, really get to know them. They don't need to be in your market. They could be in a different market. I mean, I would get involved with people here in town if they wanted to and meet, but really find a mentor and understand their business, somebody that's successful, and get to know them and build a relationship with them, because they're your biggest attribute. I mean, I learned so much going to different conferences and talking to different people that's where I pick up the most amount of my knowledge. Is I never thought of that idea, or they're using that. I should look into that. It's just different insight that, you know, I wish I would have when I was younger. I wish I would have got to know a lot more presidents and owners and things of businesses that were successful, so that I can know what they did to run this successful business, you know, because right now it's kind of, we're all learning by, you know, by the fire hose in some sense, you know, that haven't done it in a while. So it's really finding a mentor and hooking on to somebody like that and having them go on the journey with you. So
that's a brilliant piece of advice to end on, because it is a lonely field, entrepreneurship, and if you're only taking it from in-house, you're missing out on the wealth of experience that's out there that could really help you. As you say, it doesn't even have to be in your industry. You know, I've had mentors who are a completely different industry, but they've walked the entrepreneurial path, and you know, they can share something. This is why I really value people like yourself coming on this podcast, because you can share your insights, and if people can just pick up one or two things from you, which they should have picked up a lot more today, to be honest, you know, they're going to be 10 times ahead of their nearest competitor. So Ben, if people want to get hold of you, or they're looking about to know more about what the service you should do, what's the best way of getting hold of you?
You know, they can give me a call. My phone number is 701-371-2581. Call me anytime. Send me a text message. My email is ben.nelson@abmnow.com. Feel free to send me an email or look me up on LinkedIn. I'm frequently on LinkedIn, so you can find me there often. So more than happy to have a good discussion with you. If you want to schedule 5 minutes with me, I'd love to have a conversation. So.
Brilliant. Well, I'll make sure your details, Ben, are in the show notes below, so we can just click straight on it and get hold of you, because you really are, you know, as I said, you're really a wealth of knowledge there, and you know, so generous with your time. So thank you very much, Ben, for your time today and everything that you've shared with us. It's been an absolute pleasure having you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. And as I said, this has been Ben has shared so much today, and I hope you've taken loads of notes and a few action points there. But that's the key point. The knowledge is not power, ladies and gentlemen. Taking action on that knowledge is where the power comes from. So you don't have to put everything into play if you've taken loads of things from Ben. Just start with one. Just start with one of the things that Ben has shared with you today, and that will get you on that path. So as always, thank you very much for joining us. Please make sure that you like and you comment, and subscribe, but more importantly, please make sure you share. There are other people out there that could obviously do with the knowledge and insights and expertise that we're sharing on these podcasts. So please make sure that you share this episode as well as the other episodes. So thank you very much for joining us. Ben, again, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Until next time, we look forward to serving you. Bye-bye.